You're listening to The Pulse on University Radio Nottingham.
Lidl becomes latest retailer to ration sales of salad ingredients. The supermarket chain even imposes buying limits on peppers, tomatoes and cucumbers after the rise in demand. The UK's sixth largest supermarket chain said it increased the buying limit of 3 items per customer after a recent increase in demand due to other rival chains introducing limits earlier this month, with Tesco, Aldi, Asda and Morrisons all having implemented rationing protocols. These gaps on retailers' fresh produce have been triggered by cold weather and has hit crops in Spain and Northern Africa, and big cutbacks by British and Dutch growers. So the British and Dutch growers in particular has been attributed to the cost of living crisis because they can't afford the heating that's required to grow these sort of fruit and vegetables in the UK. Do you think this is a sign of more to come?
I have an opinion, but seeing as I'm hosting this evening, I'm going to direct this towards you, Jake, first.
Yeah. I think it probably is more to come.
That was my opinion as well.
Oh, fantastic. We saw it earlier this year with olive oil. That was the first major issue we had. And again, that was Spain as well. They had, huge droughts in certain areas of the country where the vast majority of the olives that are used in olive oil are grown. And therefore, the crop was destroyed, and it was very, very hard to get olive oil in the shops, which is certainly a staple in my cooking. I think for most people it's considered not a household essential, but a very common item in a household. And there's been other things as well. Tomato puree has been very sparse this year. And I think the wider issue with this is climate change. It's not going to get any... It's going to get worse before it gets better. It's really, really scary. And if the government was sensible about this, they'd be heeding these warnings and looking at these issues and be working with large crop producing countries and countries where we import a lot of materials from, and saying, look, let's work together to try and to deal with this. And again, that might be a bit too far-fetched for a Conservative government, but I personally, that's what I think. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there
more
is
to come.
Kind of there's obviously a government response to this. So Food and Farming Minister, in a wonderful display of nominative determinism, Marks and Spencers, is meeting top executives at the UK's biggest supermarkets to discuss issues including restocking plans and avoiding repeats of shortages. So this isn't solely affecting Lidl and Aldi, you know, the sort of smaller or cheap supermarkets. This is across the board. And also it comes in the same week that obviously Therese Coffey of Health Minister fame suggested that in response to the shortages, people might choose to cherish British turnips instead. Which is, you know, characteristically ill-judged comment from her there.
I'm not going to defend that in any way, shape or form. It's so tone deaf. It's unbelievable. But eating seasonal is a very, very, very good way of trying to limit carbon emissions. If you're growing things locally, it within season, and then transporting them shorter distances than international imports will be, that is sound climate change. It's sound advice for combating climate change. But I'm not going to attribute Ms. Coffey's...
It's that sound advice. I don't think that's why she was saying.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Yeah, I guess linking to that, do you think that this is a sign that consumers' attitude towards fruit and veg needs to change, and do you think this should mark an encouragement to eat more locally and more seasonally, and potentially have shops just stock what's in season rather than what we're used to with, you know, you can buy strawberries in winter now, and that's always seemed a little odd to me. They're much more of a seasonal fruit.
I think it is quite telling, because I'm just trying to picture the sort of supermarket billboards. I mean, I know that they're not overly common, but you're driving along a motorway somewhere, just some random motorway surrounded by fields, and there's a billboard in it, and it's always about British farming, like supermarkets saying we stock British farmers and whatever, and we stock all, you know, whether it's meat or whether it's vegetables or whatever it is. It's always like, you know, proud to be sourced locally and got in locally. But I think this is, it is quite telling that that again, I'm just going to use my favourite word of the pulse today, is performative. It clearly is. I mean, you walk around all the places and yes, everything, anything that's British grown is going to have a union flag slapped on it so you can see nice and clearly. Yeah. And I haven't got a problem with that. I'm, you know, I'm quite fortunate. I'm from a farming family, so sort of potato, like we always get given huge bags of potatoes that can last for ages for free because, you know, we grow them. I helped farm them. But it's so telling now that again has just purely been to attract a certain clientele, because we are seeing, you know, stocks short now, and it is the stuff that we still import and we rely on, and I accept that our climate is, you know, not good for doing it. So I think it could be indicative for consumers to start being really more aware of where they're buying. Perhaps it may even benefit local grocers, smaller shops like that, more independent places. Perhaps if they see a rise in, you know, well, they've got stock and the supermarkets don't, then perhaps that's a benefit for them, which is interesting out of such a, you know, a story which on the surface is not necessarily too anxiety inducing until you sort of realise the economic and environmental implications of it. Mm-hmm. But perhaps that is a benefit that could come out of it if it is implicated to the consumer that now, you know, we may as well start shopping local and because we know it's going to be locally sourced rather than relying on supermarket chains.
Callum, sorry. I just wanted to follow up. So, Callum, this probably doesn't apply to you given you're catered, but have either of you two ever shopped at a greengrocer or a butcher's?
Yes.
Because I in the past 2 months, buy a lot more of my fruit and veg from the grocers in Beeston, and I've also started buying a lot of meat from the butchers as well, which costs significantly more.
It is more expensive.
Butchers,
yeah.
Especially. Greengrocers, not so much, because the one that I shop at does a lot of deals, but I have started doing it, and it's not something I've done consciously. It's just I've been walking down the high street, seeing a punnet of strawberries, punnet of tomatoes for 75 pence or whatever. That's cheaper than, or almost as cheap as what I can get at Lidl for what I'm getting. I may as well go and buy that.
I think, well, I'm from, you know, quite a rural area from before I moved to university. So my entire life, more the butcher side of things, and obviously, as I said, potatoes as well, has been buying meat from butchers. There was a butcher in the village that I grew up in, and about three or four butchers in the town that I now live in, all of which got great local reputations. People, and it is more expensive, and it's not a particularly affluent area, but, you know, sort of my mum's attitude, who, you know, whether it was my mum or my dad doing the shopping, whatever, was, we'll, you know, save on, cut back on other stuff so that we can spend a little bit more on this stuff, because that's what they like to do. That was their choice. Other people have different choices, which is completely fair. So yeah, I've always, less so when I've come to uni, because it is more expensive, and if you're not, you're quite into cooking.
Yeah,
you always have been. I know that just because you've told me, but like for people like me, I'm not the best cook at all. So when I was, before I lived with my girlfriend, mine was always buying for ease, so I got out of that habit massively. But what I do remember is in Broadgate Park, the hall just off campus. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it. Oh, Jake, you were, because you lived there as well. So did I. But Broadgate Park used to have a grocer come in and be in the, I don't know if they did it, certainly in my year when I joined in 2019, 2020, just before COVID. And they used to have a grocer come in the, like, almost courtyardy bit by the one of the entrances. And it was. I don't know if that's their regular price of wherever their store is, but it was fairly priced. I used to buy all my fruit from there, definitely. I less so my veg, because I wasn't a very confident cook, so I'd often get frozen packets of veg. But all my fruit I used to get from there, because it was a decent price. And because I saw it, it made me buy it, for which was better for, you know, sort of a healthy living kind of thing as well.
I wonder why they stopped that, because that wasn't present when I was there. It might be a COVID thing, but that's a real shame, because that sort of initiative, in my opinion, is the sort of thing that should come off the back of this article, is going, you know, the uni or UP who own Broadgate Park, looking and going, right, there is a problem here. Let's try and do these things. It's supporting a local business, cutting down emissions, and also encouraging healthy eating. Like, that's a no-brainer for me.
Exactly. I do think so often these are a question of convenience. In my family, certainly growing up, we had a butcher's that was literally a 2-minute walk from our house, and unfortunately it closed, and that meant that my mum stopped buying from butcher's as often, because the nearest butcher's was a 15-minute walk away, and she, you know, why do that when you can just go around the grocery store and get everything you need all in one place? Same with the market. We do go quite often, and they do have brilliant fruit there whenever you go, and they're very friendly. But again, for a very busy household, often there just isn't the time to do these initiatives. So having it delivered to your door, or encouraging people to have that more community aspect, is really important.
Yeah, I think also, obviously, I think ideally, everyone would like to be able to go out and buy this fresh produce and shop more locally, shop more seasonally, potentially, buy the stuff that is typically higher range. But then, obviously, we're in a cost of living crisis.
Yeah.
That factors into it, as well as a climate crisis as well. So the lack of supply is obviously driving the prices of this up, because there's less of it, which sort of isolates certain people, who are then not able to afford necessarily the higher quality produce, which then obviously feeds into the wider, you know, like, health crisis amongst children, that kind of stuff as well. So you just kind of hope in the future. I know there's been lots of talks of free school meals, that kind of thing, if they can be brought in and be healthy. I mean, the ones at my school weren't particularly healthy. But, I guess I'll just... initiatives like that, we've seen with COVID, with obviously Ukraine as well, this sort of global supply chain has, you know, not necessarily failed, but certainly has issues with it, and that is going to be exacerbated by the climate crisis. So yeah, maybe shopping more seasonally, more locally, and making these goods more readily available as well is the way forward.
Linking to that, do you think that this is the fairest way for supermarkets to do it, that shoppers can only buy three of a certain produce? Because speaking as students, we're shopping for one, and yeah, I could get three peppers just for myself, compared to maybe a family of six or even 10 if it's a large family, who only have three peppers between them for a whole week. Is there a fairer way of doing this? Because of course they can't look at me and assume that I'm going to be buying for one.
Can I just add a follow-up to Laura's question? So Laura and I will jointly pitch it to you two. Have either of you been affected by it? Obviously, Callum, you're in catered accommodation, so probably less so. But, you know, the question still applies. Have either of you been affected by any of this? Not just Lidl either, any of the supermarket chains?
No, it is... You know, I think it's 3-4 years ago. This... I mean, certainly in our lifetime, if you go back to the 80s or whatever, it's probably the same. But, you know, in terms of... like, stock being limited, that's a very COVID thing, and it's almost quite trivial in a way, you know, loo roll or Prime, as we've seen quite recently. It's quite a trivial thing, but yeah, this is a very sort of, does feel quite real. Obviously, I'm not going out doing a weekly shop per se. It's more, you know, packet mash and Echo Falls from Spar is equivalent to my weekly shop, but at the same time, it's very much, you know, it will affect a lot of people, I think, going forward. And only more so with obviously climate and fallout of Brexit and Ukraine and COVID, so it's only going to get worse.
Jake, same question.
So
as a chefer.
So for that, yes, it has. So there was a period of about 2-3 weeks, I couldn't buy tomato puree. Now I cook a lot of Italian based cuisine,
cuisine. Sorry, go on.
I don't know why I bother. I can't use...
I have to make it second.
I can't use fancy words on the pulse. I can't get away with it. I cook a lot of Italian-based food. Scran.
Grub.
Grub, yeah. And that uses a lot of tomato puree. My signature dish, so to speak, is a bolognese. and you can't cook that with tomato puree. Also, my girlfriend's half Israeli, so we cook a lot of Middle Eastern food, and that also requires a lot of tomato puree. There is a thing called shakshuka, which we make, which uses a whole tub for one dish. So it's quite hefty, but yes, I
not very economical
affected.
Either.
No, probably not. But
that's what you get with cuisine.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, gourmet.
And yeah, in terms of your question, Laura, I didn't actually consider that. It probably isn't the most equitable way of doing it. But again, how do you do it? I don't think I've got the answer for that. Maybe that's something supermarkets can think about. But for me, limiting it seems like an easy way of doing it. And also, we have just come out of a global pandemic. I think most people are used to it by now.
I just want to pose a question to you before we wrap up things with our lovely little slightly enlightening segment of the Monday Pulse. But I just wanted to pose. So we've said that perhaps shopping locally at greengrocers, butchers, you know, and the equivalents for your different products that you need is there, obviously they have high prices because they're independent and they, you know, they have to fund it themselves to run their business. Should there be greater support? Is that what businesses like that need to enable them to perhaps lower their prices so that everyone can afford them and afford to shop locally and seasonally? Is there a way to help them be supportive so that they can then in turn be able to support the local communities in which they, you know, get their business?
I do wonder if there could be some form of government scheme, even perhaps like a rent help. So instead of a large supermarket, which isn't going to be worrying about rent prices, maybe even if it wasn't like, you know, written off completely, but reduced for small businesses. I wonder if something like that would help.
I was going to say, because we do see some similarities here between this sort of theory that we're posing in this story and the theory that we talked about the other week of the filthy vegan chain that went bust because it couldn't afford wasn't making enough money in due to the cost of living crisis, hasn't been supported.
Yeah, not to get like too GCSE economics whatever, but I guess the bigger it is, yeah, it's almost a paradox in a way. The bigger you get, the cheaper it's going to be produced.
Yeah,
the bigger you get, the less local you are. So I guess that's part of it. Maybe rather than having it as local business, you just encourage people. If they've got, you know, obviously you have to have room in your house, but allotments, growing your own vegetables, people young kids, education around that, schools, I think that's a good scheme if that can be rolled out to any extent.
I think the main issue for local businesses is getting customers. And I personally believe that the reason for that is attitudes. We are now in a very much an attitude of we shop at a as a nation, shop at a supermarket, get everything you need there. And I think that if it was me and I was looking at it from a legislative point of view, I'd be saying, look, let's run some kind of advertising campaign or some kind of marketing strategy where we are going to try and encourage people to shop more locally and to support local businesses rather than going to big chains like Lidl, Tesco, etc.
On campus
and online.
Online.
This is
URN.